We just got done singing a song that made a declaration. Each of us sang the song. This morning, the question is, am I resolved? Am I truly living with that declaration of resolve within my mind? Am I an individual who has my spiritual matters in line and the decisions to deal with those spiritual matters? It's already been set. It's not a question of what am I going to do this time or what am I going to do that time. It's not a question of how am I going to confront something this time as opposed to how I might have confronted it another time. The question is, am I resolved? In our Bibles, we find that Jesus makes a comment there in Matthew, the 12th chapter. In verse 30, he says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." We recognize then that we have a responsibility to stand with the Lord, to stand with Jesus in each and every one of our temptations that come before us, in each and every one of the decisions that we make. It's not always easy, though, is it? We as a society have come up with a lot of terms that will allow us to be less than fully resolved on matters. I might say that, well, you know, I'm kind of wishy-washy on this matter or that. Somebody else might say at a time, well, let me hem and haw about it. Another person may say, well, I've been kind of beating around the bush about this. And at other times we say, well, I'm straddling the fence. All of those expressions are somewhat innocent. They don't sound that horrible. And what it does at times, it gives us a little breathing space to really decide what we're going to do. I'll tell you what, in spiritual matters, in our relationship to God the Father and Jesus Christ, you can't hem and haw, you can't be wishy-washy, you can't beat around the bush, and you can't sit on the fence. You've got to be resolved as to who your master is each and every second of each and every minute, of each and every hour, of each and every day, of each and every week, of each and every month, of each and every year for the rest of your life. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about having the resolve to serve Jesus. Jesus talked about those who had no root when he gave the parable of the soils. James talks about those who are tossed to and fro as they're searching for what is right before God. What I want us to do is simply look at this from the perspective of whether or not I am resolved today to obey God. God's asked us to make the choice. Open your Bibles, if you'd like, over to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We're going to talk about a story that we're all familiar with, but it makes such a great point. Elijah is confronting Ahab. Ahab is allowing the priests of Baal and others to just run amok throughout the kingdom. And Elijah is trying to bring them back to God. And finally, Elijah says, look, I'm willing to go and I'm willing to meet on Mount Carmel with all of Balaam's priests, and we're going to put forth altars there, and we're just going to see what's going on. And so the people all come together, and the two altars are presented. And on the one altar, we find the sacrifice to Baal is put forth. And there we find that as you read throughout the entire 18th chapter, Elijah says, okay, here's what you do. You, the prophets of Baal, I want you to call down from Baal fire upon this altar. Take your time, get it done. And then we are told of the various things the people do, the prophets do, in trying to get it to come down. Trying to get that altar to be burned up to prove to all the people that Baal is the one that they should be following. We even find Elijah something that we as preachers kind of say we don't want to do and try not to do. Hey, listen, he was dealing with ungodly men. He flat out mocked them. He questioned whether their God was on a journey, whether their God was asleep. Ultimately, even though the prophets beat themselves, they gnashed on themselves, they did everything they could, they failed. What does Elijah do? Elijah says, wait a second, dig a trench around it, let's pour some water on there. Douse it good with water. I'll pour some more on it. Go ahead and pour some more on it and fill the trench with the water. That's fine. Pour some more. Now, Jehovah God will show Himself. That soaked sacrifice, that soaked wood, that soaked ground was consumed by the power of God in the fire that He sent. I would imagine that each and every one of us, if we had been standing there at that time, would have been completely in awe of what was happening. Can you imagine? You're on Mount Carmel. You can see the plains before you, the plains of Jezreel and all the Megiddo and all about you. It's a high elevation there in Israel. And while you're witnessing all the scenery around you, there that great fire is just roaring as that sacrifice is burning. And that water is just vaporizing before your eyes. How many of us would immediately want to fall down on our faces to Jehovah God? In the 21st verse, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. We have to make a choice. What will it be? Who are we going to follow? What is the decision that you, each and every one of us is faced with? God will not come down at this time and give you some special sign on the screen behind you. Anything you see on the screen is the result of what I've put there. He's not going to come and write with His finger on the wall here. God has already spoken, and we have it before us. You can read it here at the building. You can take it home to read. You can buy it on cassette. You can get an MP3. You can listen to it online. You can get a CD. Whatever you want. The Word of God is there to be heard at any time you want. The decision is yours. Over in Romans, the 6th chapter, Paul reminds the saints there, beginning at verse 16, and do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That simply describes who we are when we resolve to be that Holy One. You will not be holy by accident. You may do holy things. That is to say, you may do things that God says, here's what I want done. But if it's not from a heart of service to God, God's not viewing it as holiness in service to Him. And so none of us should be accidentally serving God. It should be because we have resolved to serve Him. And as I said a moment ago, when I started with the seconds and went to the years and then went to all of our lives, the point also needs to be made and remembered that indeed this is a decision that is perpetual. Resolving to serve God is not a decision that is made based upon the circumstances. And I think sometimes we've inadvertently, or maybe even deliberately, allowed that to be the case. And what I mean by that is, as this problem arises, and all of its consequences just seem overflowing, just overwhelming, just wants to smother us, okay, I'm resolved to do God's will to deal with that. If we don't have the resolve within our souls, then what happens in another problem? Here's a little problem that arises. Its consequences aren't that great. It's not giving me that big a fit. I can probably deal with it, and it's not going to be long before its effects are gone. I'll let it play out. That's saying, I don't need God. I'll just let it play out, and I'll go with the flow, and I'll handle it. Oh, but when it's big, I needed God. When the consequences are small, I don't need God so much. No. If I'm resolved to follow the Savior, then I recognize that in each of these situations, I need God. I need Jesus Christ. I need Him as Lord and Savior. I need to be a slave to Christ, regardless of whether the problem is big with big consequences or the sin is small and hardly anybody, and maybe nobody else, is going to know about it. In either case, we need to take on the attitude that says, my faithfulness to God restrains me from that sin. My faithfulness to God restrains me from that sin. Why? I'm resolved. I'm determined. I think too many times we make temporary our service to God. There's actually a word to temporize. And temporizing is the idea of stalling. It's the idea of putting it off until it comes to our advantage for this or that to occur. And so sometimes we will stall until the harshness of it blows over. No, we can't do that. We can't be that kind of person if we're truly going to decide that we are engaged in a relationship with God that has room for no other. And by no other, I mean Satan. There is no room for Satan and all that he tries to bring us. If we don't have that attitude, my friends, we are going to find ourselves spiritually dead. Somebody once wrote, and I want to read it exactly as I have it on my notes here to get the full impact. At least it has an impact upon me. It says, on the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who at the dawn of victory sat down to rest and in resting died. They were right at the point of victory and they decided to back off and take it easy. That can happen to us as we face the spiritual battles of Satan. Just at the point that he is about to be defeated, we decide to take a time out. We decide to take a breath. And we allow ourselves to be crushed. If we would have pressed on with it in that resolve, we would have killed that temptation. We would have killed that sin. And we'd have been victorious because of Jesus Christ.
So the call this morning is indeed to say, I am resolved.
Indecisiveness ends up actually putting us in the same position as if we were hostile to God. And yet, as we've talked from time to time, I don't believe I've known anybody who's been a member of this congregation or any other congregation, quite frankly, who has taken the position at some point, I have decided to be hostile toward God, and therefore I'm going to walk away from Him. No. Usually they have moved slowly away, not recognizing or not willing to admit and be honest about the hostilities they were developing in their relationship with God. You see, the character that I have and the character that you possess is really an accumulation of the little choices that I have made. It's an accumulation, your character, of the little choices that you made. That tells me that no choice, when choosing between what God wants of me and what Satan wants of me, no choice is so small and insignificant, because it has an impact upon me. Now, I'm not suggesting that I can't overcome some bad choices. Absolutely. That can't happen. But I don't think we should go through life saying, well, any bad choices I make, I can overcome them later. I think what we need to do instead is to be constantly, consciously aware of the fact that when I make a choice, it's forming or continuing to form my character. When I step back and have that kind of attitude, when I step back and look at things through those kinds of eyes, there's nothing insignificant about any sin that Satan says is going to be pleasurable for a little bit, so go ahead and do it. Unfortunately, I think many times, at times in my life, and perhaps in yours, we've allowed our character to be developed by default, rather than truly making decisions. We simply defaulted to whatever was happening. We went with the flow. Whatever was going, that's what we were doing. That's default living. That's not letting our character be something that we've chosen to develop to be what it is. There's an old expression, and it's such an old expression that we tend not to want to use it. It seems so trite in some ways. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'll tell you something. As old as that expression is, it comes in to bear here as a warning to us. If you tried living and developing a character by default while intending to choose God, you're going to end up on that road that's paved to hell with all those good intentions and yet lost. We have to recognize a few biblical truths. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Our little ones know about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And they know about the foolish man who built his house upon the sands. Most little ones love to talk about what happens at the end, and it came down. It came down. Well, I'll tell you what. It's true. It's true. If we postpone obedience to God, then God says we're fools. And we're going to reap the consequences of it. We need to recognize that indeed, by our indecision, we are often offending God. By our indecision, we are a disgusting insult to God. I'm not talking about the very fact that there might be some horrible sin we didn't commit. I'm talking about simply being indecisive. I'm talking simply about the idea of postponing, procrastinating, doing what God wants us to do. In doing so, Jesus has even used the illustration of considering you as something to be vomited out. In Revelation 3, 15 and 16, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you, the New King James says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Do not think that procrastination in a commitment to God, do not think that indecision in a commitment to Jesus Christ is a good standby position to take. No, it isn't. It makes God sick. It makes Christ sick. Oftentimes, we find ourselves failing to make decisive choices that actually show that we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Over in Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 57 to 63. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And the Lord said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know something? If you read that initially, you say, wow, whoa, Jesus, that's kind of... No, he was making a point to them. And the point is applicable to you and I as well. And that is at the beginning of excuses for not serving God, at the beginning of those excuses, we lay the groundwork for being indecisive. And if we continue with that, always believing that later we can serve God, we are going to realize what Jesus has said here in its totality, and that is, we aren't fit to serve God. Because this is something I need to keep in mind, and so do you. God doesn't want you only at the judgment day. He doesn't. He doesn't want you or I to live our lives any way we want here on earth and kind of toward Him. But on the judgment day, stand before Him and say, oh, I am resolved to get into the kingdom. No. He wants this from us here on earth. Ultimately, there's no middle ground in deciding whether or not you're going to serve the Lord or not serve Him. There in Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. That's not an even or either or. That's a reality. In Luke 6:46,
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The God of heaven is baffled in all of His knowledge, in all of His wisdom, in all of His glory. I think He's baffled when you and I behave indecisively toward Him. Why? Look what I've offered you. Look what I promise you. Look what I gave for you. And you want to follow Satan? Just in that area? Just over here for right now? You need to recognize that we have the responsibility to indeed gird up our minds against everything that Satan wants to put before us. Again and again, we think of things as being impossible with regard to problems that can be solved. And yet oftentimes the only problem is really not willing to make the decisions that need to be made. The problems aren't all that tough. It's making the decision to solve the problem by doing what God wants that's so tough. And therefore we procrastinate. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we're about to conclude, we need to recognize that indeed we have to take control of our emotional feelings. We have to bring them into subjection to God's will, because our emotions oftentimes run off on their own with a lot of great intentions. But they need to be harnessed in by the will of God. They need to be kept under control. The cheapest source of energy for us right now, and I'm talking now, excuse me for a second, I've gone back to our earthly world, for electricity, for power, in the running of it, not the building of the plants, are atomic plants, power plants. If they're kept under control, all that power, all that energy can light up America. You let them go, and you've got the China syndrome going on, and that's bad. Listen, we have that power before us. We have that energy within us. But it must be controlled by Jesus Christ. If we don't, then it runs amok. And it will do damage. Because it will, my emotions and my energies will contradict God if I don't let God be the one who guides, controls, and harnesses those energies. Make the proper decisions now. Decide how much Bible study you're going to be involved in. Decide how much prayer you're going to be involved in. Decide this morning whether or not you're going to serve God or not. Decide whether or not you're going to correct the wrongs that you've done against another. Resolve to do these things. I am resolved. Jesus died for my sins. Therefore, I need to behave each day as one who is resolved. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. If you're resolved this morning to put on Christ in baptism, do so. Whatever has been causing you to delay has simply given Satan more strength and hope of your damnation with him. If you're a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, then let's pray together. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.